In America, you have a right to be stupid.
I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
$100 billion, $1 trillion.
Come on!
If you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Listen to reason.
We're lending money we don't have to kids who will never be able to pay it back, to train them for jobs that don't exist anymore.
My faith has really allowed me to overcome a lot of things and hard work. You know, nothing comes easy.
We're so focused on getting into the corner office, we forgot how to build a corner office.
There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
Finding real answers to form real solutions for a better America. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, and I'm joined by the great Rachel Keene of Conservative Mama. Rachel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, do we have her on?
Oh, who is it?
Respond again.
Oh, I thought I was talking. I was like, no one can hear me.
Do you do this everywhere you go? Everywhere you go, you have to say twice how you're feeling?
I'm double repeating myself. I'm doing good, Andy. Happy to be on with you. Excited for the show.
Okay. Now, are you brave and bold enough to do the question of the day?
Let's do this.
You're really putting yourself out there.
Okay.
Yesterday's was 1 in 6 people say they forget to do this on a daily basis. What is this? Has to do with health.
This is yesterday's? Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. No, I see the answer, so now I can't answer.
Oh, drink water.
I just looked
at the answer. Oh my gosh, you cheated.
I know, right?
You cheated.
Drink water. How can that? You can't do that in Colorado.
So do you identify as a Democrat in a woman's body? I mean, you cheated. How dare you?
A little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But how? You can't not drink water in Colorado. Like, I am look at me. I've got like several liquids in front of me right now. I'm constantly drinking.
Yeah, me too.
And I never feel like I have enough water in me, ever.
You have never made it through a show sober. It's incredible. You know? Which makes the third hour really fun, by the way. You have no idea how entertaining you become by that point. Okay, are you ready for today's question? Do not look ahead.
Okay, I'm not.
And well, I have not either.
Okay.
And by the way, folks, if you have an answer for us, please give it to us on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. By the way, you can also give us a call at 303-477-5600. Here's the question. There are more of these right now in the world than ever before. Hint, we're talking about population.
More of these.
This is easy. Lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. That's probably not the answer, but...
Oh, gosh. They're multiplying in front of us.
They do multiply. They're like rabbits.
I know,
you
right?
know, they divide like cells.
Yeah.
Everywhere you look, there are more lawyers.
More okay, of these. Population.
Yeah. That's the hint, population.
Hmm.
Do we have Jim? Is Jim Dennison on the line right now? Jim Dennison. We are joined by Jim Dennison,
founder
of the Dennison Forum. Dr. Dennison, can you please answer for us? What are there more of now, right now in the world than ever before?
Maybe talk show hosts.
Oh,
that's true.
Oh, no, yeah, probably. Well, people with their podcasts. I mean, everybody's got a podcast at this point.
People named Jim Dennison. I mean, there's been a real explosion. Go ahead.
And that's got to be a positive thing, right? There's so many more talk show hosts than maybe ever before, and more guests. And,
yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, only good can come out of that.
And we owe it all to the great Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, man, my favorite.
We do.
Huge
Must pay
influence.
Respects. Must yep, pay respects.
Definitely.
Okay, well, Dr. Dennison, what would you like to talk about today? It is so great to have you here.
Andy, thank you so much. Glad to be on with both of you. What I have been talking about a lot this week, and if obviously we can go whatever direction you like, is why Easter is still relevant. Because there's a thing I think we're missing in here that you guys would be aware of, but a lot of folk aren't necessarily. And that is that it's so easy to check the Easter box and think, okay, we did the holiday, it's kind of done, now we're kind of on with spring, on to Mother's Day, and we go on from there. When the risen Christ is just as ready to change your life today as on that first Easter. And if we miss that, we miss the whole point of Christianity. A Christless Christianity is not Christianity. So there's a point inside that I'm really wanting people to think about these days.
No, wait a minute. Jim, you're saying that he's not only risen one day a year?
We don't check the box one day a year, do we?
No.
There's an Easter Bunny one day a year. We hunt for eggs one day a year. So resurrection must only be for one day a year, right?
Wow. I totally agree. By the way, my degree is in the ministry, and of course, Rachel is a Christian leader, so yeah. We are there with you, sir. We are there with you. What are you basically telling people on this? Are you getting the idea that people are kind of thinking, like you said, check off the box, but then they kind of forget about it? They come off that Easter high?
Yeah, because that's our culture. That's really what we've inherited. It's kind of the DNA that's in the air. So you go back to this Greco-Roman world, and you've got all these altars and these gods, Mount Olympus, all of that. You had a transactional religion. That's why they had so many gods, so that for every need you had a god. If you're going to war, you sacrifice to Mars or Ares. If you need wisdom, you sacrifice to Athena. That's why you had all these temples. Paul talked about an unknown god there in Acts 17, all that. So you have this transactional religion. You place the sacrifice, so the god will bless your crops, or God will keep you safe, or whatever. We brought that into our culture. Go to church on Sunday, so God will bless you on Monday. Celebrate Easter, so God will bless you as a result. When what God wants with us is a transformational relationship, not a transactional religion, whereby every minute of every day, Jesus is risen, and Jesus is King, and Jesus is Lord. If he's King, he's King of the whole realm, not just the palace. He's King of Monday, not just Sunday. In our culture, he's a hobby. In the Bible, he's a risen King.
Well, you make such a great point, too, because a transaction happens in a moment. A transformation happens for life.
Right.
Absolutely. That's part of why it's so much easier, isn't it, to do the transaction, check the God box. And I'll confess, I'm just as tempted as anybody. Have a quiet time at the start of the day so God will bless my day. Read the Bible, pray, do things even the ministers do so that God will bless my ministry. This transactional business relationship is really easy to fall into because then I'm in charge.
Right.
I'm the one in charge of the transaction. I'm the consumer. I'm the one in controller when Jesus is in control.
Right. And I think it's important to look at it as, you know, a lot of people view Christianity as a religion, but it's really a relationship with Jesus, and it's incorporating him into your everyday activities. I mean, just kind of, he's your overall consultant. Like, you go to him, hey, I don't know what to do about this, or what do you think about this, or he becomes your best friend. It is a relationship. And then you start to see the bigger picture when you're walking with him. And I think a lot of people right now are struggling to see the big picture out there. It looks like a hot mess to me. So I constantly am consulting with Jesus saying, okay, what are we doing today? What does it look like? And where are we headed in this whole thing? So it's awesome to see it as more of a relationship.
Every day.
Yep. Yep.
Need the mind of Christ every minute of every day, not just one day a year. We need him to lead us. We need him to use us. We need him to empower us. We need him to be the living Christ in us and through us. Crazy thing is, he's just as ready to work in our body as in his. Just as ready to work now as 20 centuries ago, if we'll turn that direction and seek that as our definition of success.
You know, I think so many people forget, Jim, that when we... Can I call you Jim or Dr.
Please.
Dennison?
No, please, Jim.
Lord Sire... Emperor Dennison.
Only my wife has to call me Dr. Dennison.
Oh, how nice.
And if you believe that, we have some land off the coast of Florida for sale.
By the way, did you know that God brought the word of God twice for me? You know, first he sent the Bible and then my wife.
Well, there you go.
So
you go.
Either way, I know what to do every day, and it's very comforting. It's really helping
That's
me.
That's all you need.
Well, what a lot of people forget, Jim, is that he was resurrected, and so are we, because of him. And you know, when you look at all the world religions, and, you know, I was raised, by the way, as an atheist. I went through that, you know, testing phase of disbelief and basically debated myself into the faith.
Wow.
But what I saw with the other faiths was this. In each one of them, in one shape or another, you are earning your way up a ladder. You are earning your way to life. You are earning your way to something that's the equivalent of heaven. Yet in Christianity, you are recognizing that you are dead. He's alive. Life has to reach out and touch death. And then rise again to basically build a bridge for you to cross. And basically, you're helpless without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we tend to forget that if you have been resurrected, if you've been raised up again with Christ, live that way all week, not just on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he empowers us to do that very thing. I taught world religions for more than 30 years at 4 seminaries. More than 30 trips to the Middle East, a lot of time in the Islamic world as well. And I say that to say, Andy, you're exactly right. Religion is about us climbing up to God. It might be the five pillars of Islam. It might be the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Noble Path of Buddhism. It might be reincarnation through Hinduism, 613 laws of Judaism. I don't mean that unkindly. I don't mean that to depreciate at all. That just is the nature of the faith. That is how religions work. These are means by which we kind of climb up to God. In Christianity, God climbs down to us. The difference is grace. There's this great story about C.S. Lewis arriving late at some theological gathering. There was this big argument going on. He asked what they were talking about. He said, well, the debate is, what's unique about Christianity? And Lewis said, well, that's simple. It's grace. And he was exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so beautiful. It is the grace that passes, just kind of relieves us all. I think sometimes when you feel like you can't match up, just as even as a, like a mom, like I, you know, you make a mistake, or it's like you're learning as you go with certain things. And my kids are starting to get older, so I'm starting to get asked these deeper questions. We're starting to have more of a debate type atmosphere in my home, and it's that grace of God that can get us through when we feel like we can't do it on our own, and it's His grace that is sufficient for us when we feel like we don't meet up, you know, we don't reach that expectation, but it's because of Him that we do.
That's a great point. Go ahead, Jim.
And that's what makes grace available and so relevant to us, isn't it? The real challenge in here, I'm confessing here, is self-sufficiency. And I've learned this personally. I can testify personally to this. It's self-sufficiency, spiritual suicide. Because God won't lead people that won't be led. He can't give you what you won't receive. When my kids were young, our two sons were young, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a big deal. Not that they're not today and probably will be till the Lord returns, who knows. Right. But they have these swords.
They are for me, Jim.
Silver swords. Yeah, there you go. You know, Michelangelo, Donatello, Raphael, who was
Leonardo. Well,
anyway.
Leonardo.
Yeah. There you go. See, there you go. Right.
Yeah, yeah. Dude.
Now we know that you're a mother. And so they'd play with these swords back and forth until they would break. And then they would bring them to me. And my job was to duct tape them, because duct tape solves everything.
Yes.
If it doesn't move in, should, you put WD-40. If it moves in, should, you put on duct tape. That's how this
right.
works. And so anyway, I taped these swords back up and they'd be back at it. But they had to give me the sword. I couldn't fix it if they wouldn't give it to me. How many times have I broken my sword and refused to give it to the only one who could fix it? Mm-hmm. If I'll do that, because Jesus is alive today, because He's ready to be Jesus in my heart today, if I'll just do that, then the grace that is available that you were speaking of is the grace that God gives us.
Right.
You know, Jim, one thing that people seem to not realize, when you got all these religions where you try to earn your way, and then you got Christianity where it comes by grace, it's a gift given where you have to accept it, is that this is natural. Grace is natural. Grace is the way we all want to be loved. No one wants to be loved by their dad or their mom conditionally,
right,
where you earn your love of them. No one wants to be, you know, go out and date somebody, right, and find out they only like you because you spend a lot, or because you have a great car, or you look good, or whatever, or because they're using you for whatever reason. No one wants to feel cheap and used. Everyone, everywhere, wants to be loved in the exact way that we see in grace, unconditionally, where it is given to you and you simply accept it. I don't understand why so many people try to form all these ladders and rules and regulations and ways to earn something that they know deep down is the most unnatural way to get it.
That's a great point. Fantastic point. Back years ago, Peter Berger had an article on signals of transcendence, which he meant as things that you can find in the world that point beyond us. And our desire for grace, which you're describing right now, I think is one of those. God wired us in such a way to yearn for grace because that's the gift He made us to receive. Problem is, at least confessing myself, if I admit I need grace, I have to humble myself. I have to admit that I need what I can't earn, what I can't deserve, what I can't justify. And I don't like doing that. I don't like being in your debt. I don't like being in anybody's debt. If you back into my car in the parking lot, I can forgive you. If I back into your car and you forgive me, I can't do that. I've got to pay for it. I've got to make it right. I've got to settle accounts. I don't want to be in your debt. If you have given me grace, I'm in your debt. And it's this fallen human nature to be your own God, Genesis 3. Nietzsche said the will, the powers, the basic drive in human nature. And so in me, anyway, it's this desire not to be a debtor that is in conflict with my desire to be loved by grace. And that's the mess of the fallen human condition.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And by the way, you know, I think Rachel, as a mother,
yeah,
you definitely understand what it's like to have kids love you the right way and the wrong way.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The last thing you want is for kids to constantly bring you stuff and do stuff for you because of what they get.
Right.
You want them, you know, or because of what's going to happen to them, you know, do your chores or else, or do this and you'll get benefit. What if your children were to look at you and say, we want to do all these wonderful things, Mom, I'm going to do all my homework and all this and stuff, and you don't have to tell me. And I'm just going to do it. Why? Because I want to honor you. I think you're great.
Oh.
Okay.
I would be like, I love you so much.
Yeah, but you see, with God And Jim, so often with God, I think we pervert that, even as Christians. Okay, we enter through the door in grace, but then we still try to live in works.
Right.
And so every time we've done something wrong, we shrink away in fear from the guy who never brought us in because of our works in the first place.
Right.
Right. And so we treat him as someone whose love we need to earn, and right. that seems to cheapen it. Is that true?
Absolutely true. Oh, I think it's absolutely true. Again, in this fallen human condition, don't want to be a debtor to God. So I do it on two levels. Here's how I have my cake and eat it too. I know 1 John 1:9. I know if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So I confess the sin to God. I receive his grace by which he forgives me and cleanses me and separates my sin from me as far as the east is from the west and buries in the depths of the deepest sea and remembers it no more, as the Bible says. I love all of that. I receive all of that. But then, in order to earn what he gave me, I punish myself. I use guilt in order to punish
yes.
myself.
Right.
So as to justify the grace I've received.
Right.
Guilt is not of God. God never condemns people. He condemns sins, not sinners. And so I'll come along and I'll receive his grace, and then I'll use guilt to try to work off the debt of the grace,
right.
which must just frustrate my Father to no end, who wants me to experience freedom, not guilt. And if I would just give it up and give it into his hands, the abundant life Jesus died and rose for me to have.
Right. Well, I think it is like most people, they feel like they can't grasp this free gift. Okay, wait, you sent your son to die for me just because you love me? Like, why would you do that? And I think that there's this human nature, like there's always some kind of return. Like, you get this and I get this, or I'm going to buy, you know, this bike and I'm going to give, you know, here's the money
it's
for
it. It's all transaction.
Yeah, there's always a transaction. So here it is. Jesus gave his life for us. Like, what, and with that comes, see, and this is where people, like, they lose it, because it's like, okay, you have eternal salvation. But on top of that, you're empowered because Christ is now in you. And so you have the authority that Jesus walked in. And I think that that's where, you know, we stop at, okay, it's eternal, you know, we have eternal life. Okay, good. And then that's done. But then there's so much more. There's so much more. And that's where the relationship comes in. And it's the day-to-day of, like, oh, this of discovery of all that he has for us, all that he wants for us, the authority that we can walk in, how we can take dominion. We're not victims here on this planet. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And once we start to really see that and walk in that and embrace that, that's when you start to see the world around you change.
Absolutely, and that's when we're what the world wants.
Yeah,
the world sees that. They see that kind of transformational, overcoming experience, and now your faith becomes relevant. In a postmodern world that says truth is personal, individual, and subjective, it no longer really works to stand up and just say, the Bible said, and the Bible's right, therefore, people will say, well, that's just your truth, right?
Right.
So in the old days, if it was right, it must be relevant. Today, if it's relevant, it must be right. So when we demonstrate the relevance of God's word in our lives by living exactly as Jesus described, Rachel, by living in this Romans 8, more than conquerors, that Jesus makes available to us every day, that is a powerful witness the world has no ability to overlook.
Right.
Because that's what they're looking for.
Hey,
right.
Jim.
What they see in us, and that's the opportunity.
Jim, I know we were only going to do this one segment. Could you hold on over the break and give me just a few more minutes? Because I wanted to ask you the question, this grace he's given us, how can we show it to others?
I would love to do that. It'd be a privilege.
Awesome. Okay, let's keep you over the break. First of all, affordable interest mortgage with Kurt Rogers, who, by the way, is a very gracious guy.
Very gracious, yeah.
Yes, he is. Nice folks, guy. Take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. Just call Kurt Rogers at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Okay, a good shop is up next. Accidents happen, but don't you wish you were prepared when they do? Wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes, it would. Well, let Elstrom at a good shop help. Go to their website on your phone, download their mobile estimating tool. This app allows you, it walks you through what pictures and steps you need to take at that moment that fender bender occurs. Then you'll get an estimate right up front. Call Al at 720-541-7697, or you can find them at klzradio.com. Bad accident? You need a good shop.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at a good shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a good shop for auto body work and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with the great Rachel King, conservative mama. And on the line right now, Jim Dennison, Dr. Dennison, Dr. Emperor Dennison. I want to ask you this. God has given us grace. All right. Love God, love others. How come it's so easy to forget to show that same grace to others? Why do we fail in this, and how can we do it better?
Yeah, what a practical question. I'm so glad I don't have that problem. You know?
Of course not.
Me
well,
either.
You're perfect. So I want you to imagine if you were imperfect, like, say, well, not me or Rachel, Charlie. Let's say you were imperfect like Charlie. How would you show grace to others?
Hypothetical. Yeah, pure speculation here, pure hypothetical, right?
Right?
So some years ago, John Powell had a phenomenal book entitled, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Really Am? And the answer is, I'm afraid you won't like me very much. So I live with what psychologists call an idealized self, a perfect self that I seek to project to the world to hide the person I really am inside so I can convince you that I'm something that I'm not. And I'm constantly living in this world, constantly trying to measure up to you, constantly trying to live in this world. And the old psychology is, I'm not who I think I am, I'm not who you think I am. I'm who I think you think I am.
Yep.
So as a result, I've got this transactional relationship with you just like I have with God. And now there's a situation where you need grace, where I need to forgive you for what you've done, where I need to offer you the same grace that God has given me. That's not a transaction. What do I get out of that? What's in it for me in this, I'm thinking? You deserve to be punished. You deserve what I'm doing to you. You deserve the consequences of your sin because it's all a transaction. It's all making you like me, so I'll like myself, and I assume you're doing the same thing. What I miss in all of that is that forgiving you is not just for you. It's primarily for me. When I forgive you, what I'm doing is letting me free, setting me free. There's this wonderful statement in Frederick Buechner's book on anger where he says of the seven deadly sins, anger is possibly the most fun.
Hmm.
He says to lick your wounds over grievances long past, to savor to the last, do some more so both the pain you're given and the pain you're giving back. In many ways, it's a feast fit for a king. The chief drawback is that what you're wolfing down is yourself. The skeleton at the feast is you. So if I'll recognize that rather than a transaction where I have to give you what you deserve so I can get hopefully what I deserve, if I'll offer you the grace of forgiveness, I'm giving myself that same grace.
Jim, do you think that maybe we turn to people as our value providers because we've forgotten the value God has given us? I mean, if I know that I'm already totally valued by the creator of the universe, why do I care if this person provides my value?
So true.
Why do I have to perform?
No, there's no question. I think that's absolutely a symptom of the reality. The best piece of advice I ever got was in high school when a youth minister said to me, never forget the source of your personal worth. Mm. On my good days, I remember that, guys. And it's not in me. This was a revelation to me some years ago in John 17. Don't know how I missed it all these years. John 17, 23 and 26. Jesus is making the point that the Father loves me as much as he loves his Son.
Right.
Now, it's not because I'm worthy of that. Of course it's not. It's not because I'm sinless like Jesus. It's because God is love. 1 John 4. In other words, to say it kind of crudely, God can't help it. God has to love me absolutely, infinitely, unconditionally. Nothing I can do to earn it, deserve it, lose it. Nothing I can do to make him love me any more or any less. And it's not because of me. It's because he is love. When I understand that down in my marrow, down in the depth of my soul, it frees me to be able to love others because I'm loved. Not right. So they'll love me, but because God loves me. And that's all the difference.
Yeah. I mean, if I didn't earn it from him, don't make others earn it from me.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Imagine the difference in our culture if people would just get that, if believers would just get that. Right. I can give you grace because I've received grace. You don't owe me anything. I don't owe you anything. We're all free because we're children of the same Father.
Well, Jim, we talk politics on this show a lot. Yeah. Every now and then it tends to come up, doesn't it, Rachel?
Oh, constantly, yes.
Well, in the political world, let's face it, we value people in so much as they agree with us.
Right.
I mean, not to pick on the gay culture, but I'm just saying one of their big things is hate is not a family value. They equate agreement with a lifestyle with hate. We literally, and we all do it, not just them. I just use them because that's a very popular political statement of theirs. We all do it. If you don't agree with me, you hate me.
Right. No, that's not.
I mean, we equate a great agreement
right.
with hate.
Right.
So basically, you've got to mimic back to me my views or you hate me. You've got to earn my value or you don't deserve it.
Right. No, you can disagree with somebody and still love them. You can. We are called to love people regardless of what they're walking in. But you don't have to agree and to condone their lifestyle, because anything that and we all are sinners. We've all fallen short of the grace of God. And we all need that redemption of the blood of Jesus. But if you continue to walk in something that separates you from fully encountering a relationship with Jesus, then loving it, I saw this awesome video. It was by John Bevere, and it was these two friends, and they're walking in the mountains, and one of them is like blind. It was like three guys, and one of them was blind, and he was trying to make his way down the mountain, and the other two friends were like, oh, let's just love him. Let's just love him as he tries to make his way to us. This guy's stumbling, and he's falling, and he's hurting himself, and they're like, we're just gonna love you. We love you. Instead of saying, hey, like, let's guide you down this mountain.
Can we give
you
a hand?
Yeah, let's let, you know what I'm saying? And so loving doesn't mean embracing, you know, something that separates you from God. Loving is being honest. I think love is telling the truth.
You know, Jim, I think I'm going to ask you to take it home, because I think one thing we're proving here with these stories is we Americans don't get grace and we don't get love. Mm-hmm. So you got about a minute left. So in that time, you need to explain to all of us what grace and love mean. How can we live this in our lives going forward?
Yeah, it's been said that mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And both of them are
love
true,
it,
aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we have a God of grace. And so here's the joyous privilege today. Get alone with God. Take some time with the Lord. Ask the Lord to reveal his grace to you. Just ask the Lord to make his grace real somehow in your mind and life. He'll bring thoughts to your mind. He'll bring impulses to your spirit. Ask him to demonstrate his grace to you. And then after he's done that, thank him for that grace and ask him to help you to give to others what you have received, to pay forward what you've received. Encounter grace today, because it's as close as your knees. It's as close as your next prayer.
Well, Jim, since we can't get everything you possibly know in 1 minute, can you please let people know how they can find you online and learn more?
Thank you, Andy. Our website is denisonforum.org, DENISONforum.org. I write a daily article each morning based on that day's news. It goes out to about 300,000 subscribers, 2.2 million in social, and then you can get that there. You can see the videos, the articles, the podcasts, the books, all the digital content's free. We're a donor-based ministry, and it's all at the website, denisonforum.org.
Fantastic, sir. Thank you so much.
What a privilege. God bless.
God bless.
Thank
that
you.
That was Jim Denison, yeah. And boy, does he know everything or what?
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yes, he is.
I'll give it to him.
He's a pretty smart guy. Okay, up next is a very smart guy, Michael Bailey Law. Look at the government these days. Look at the government. Do you want them handling your estate?
No. No, I don't want them handling anything.
You don't trust them?
I'm good. They can just stay in their place. I'll stay in mine.
You're supposed to show grace, but not stupid grace.
Right.
Exactly.
Don't be ignorant, okay?
Exactly. Well, for someone you can trust, call Michael Bailey. Michael listens to your needs and helps make sure your estate serves your loved ones in your way. Call Michael Bailey at 720-730-7274, or you can find him at klzradio.com.
KLZ's mobile estate planner knows how to protect your savings from healthcare costs, but you want to plan ahead. You worry about what might happen to your savings should you or your spouse need long-term care. Medicaid could ask you to spend down your assets, draining your accounts. You will feel so much better knowing that you have planned ahead to preserve your assets. Finishing your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law feels like such a relief. Ask Michael Bailey about setting up an asset protection trust. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/estate.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Mainstream media reported last week that two little Ecuadorian girls were dropped over the border wall in New Mexico. A young girl died by drowning, and a six-month-old was thrown into the river. Kim Munson here. Friday, founder and president of International Network of Hearts, Alma Tucker, explains what is happening at the Biden-Harris border. Plus, Hal Van Herkey, owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, updates us on the latest regarding small to mid-sized businesses in Colorado. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again, 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, and welcome back to 560 KLZ Radio. This is Rachel Keene, Conservative Mama, with Andy Paith. We are filling in for John.
The great one.
Yes, the great one. We've taken over his studio here.
And by the way, before we go on to our next topic, which is going to be Asa Hutchinson, let me say one more thing about what Dr. Dennison had to say. What a great idea, the way he closed. Folks, I know we spend all of our time performing for other people's value. To get them to like us. We perform. Take a few minutes and set that aside and come before God and simply accept his value.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to perform. Yeah. He just wants you to say yes.
Yes.
It's a little bit easier.
Yeah. That's so true, because even like kind of what I'm involved in, it's often like acting, performing,
right,
theater, you know, and you want someone to say, hey, good job. That was funny or nice. You know, you need that. You want that approval. And it's just, I need that reminder of, hey, all I need is God's approval. That's really all that matters when all is said and done. And to just focus on that, because that brings that peace that passes all understanding that we're all looking for.
See, I'm not so demanding. I do ask my wife to refer to me as a godlike creature. Like, I want her to call me Apollo. Is that out of line?
Slightly out of line. I don't think your wife would go for that, but...
Yeah, she's kind of smart.
I
married a smart
would.
One. Yeah. That was really a mistake.
I don't think I would fly with her. I just, I don't call it intuition. I don't think
I know. I married a smart wife, and I worship a smart God. I don't get away with anything.
No, you don't.
I chose poorly in that way. Okay, shall we talk about Asa Hutchinson? This is, folks, this is a meltdown.
It's a hot mess is
yes,
what it is.
And we're going to play several minutes of this. This is an interview from a couple nights ago on Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
You saw this, right?
Yes.
And we're going to interrupt it a few times because this guy is ludicrous. Bottom line, no, you know what? I'm going to let Tucker explain it.
Let's let him explain.
Are you ready? Here
let's
we go.
Let's do it.
Well, the legislature in Arkansas recently passed a bill that would ban doctors from prescribing so-called puberty blockers, heavy-duty hormones, to children who believe they're transgender. The law also bans surgeons from physical castration of children. But the governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, vetoed that bill on Monday. Legislatures in Arkansas just voted to override that veto, which brings us to where we are right now. Ace Hutchinson is the governor of Arkansas, and he joins us to talk about this story. Governor, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate it in the middle of all this. Now, I think of you as a conservative. Here you've come out publicly as pro-choice on the question of chemical castration of children. What changed?
Well, first of all, your teaser as you led into this program did not accurately represent the bill. If this had been a bill that simply prohibited chemical castration, I would have signed the bill. But Tucker, as you know, this bill was overbroad, it was extreme, it went far beyond what you just said. And I made it clear that this, if this was about prohibiting procedures, sex reassignment surgery, absolutely, I would have signed that bill. But this, again, is the first law in the nation that invokes the state between medical decisions, parents who consent to that, and the decision of the patient. And so this...
Whoa, come on now, wait a minute. So he's saying, if you were to put out something that would simply stop these procedures, I would, of course, sign that.
Right.
But you want to come between, you want the government to come between, you know, parents and a child and their doctor in doing these procedures.
Right, right. This is a child. We're talking about children. Right, like that's what he kind of... floats around. These are children, right? These are children that are making permanent decisions.
Yes.
When your brain is not fully developed. Okay.
Yes.
Right. So I think at that point, that's when we do need someone saying, you know what? Let's pump the brakes and wait till you're an adult on a lot of this stuff that we're witnessing right now.
Right. And by the way, kids are impressionable.
Yes.
Okay, you've got wack. What are we supposed to say? What if some wacky parents and their wacky doctor decide to give a 10-year-old son breast implants?
Right. Just because they think it would be fun. Yeah, I mean, who knows? There's a lot of weird parents out there.
How about a third arm?
Right.
You know, and people are thinking, Andy, that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. My kid, after he came home from, you know, the gender identity class at school, he decided he is Dolly Parton with a third arm. And so he wants to have this. And how dare you let the government get in the way of that? And by the way, he wants to marry a houseplant.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And they've been dating, you know, seriously for months now. So this is what we're going to let our 10-year-old do.
This is you make fun of, but okay, we've got throuples out there, couples. So I mean, and we've got people wanting to marry their pets. Like, this is not, actually what you're saying is not extreme. I would not be surprised if people wanted to sew more appendages onto their body. I mean, at this point, it's gotten so wacky and so weird. Okay. And I'm just like,
well, here's the thing. You shouldn't alter. Look, folks, we're not talking about a kid, you know, joining a religion. You can drop the religion later
right.
if you
this
decide.
This is permanent
You know,
stuff.
Hey, I don't want to be a Hare Krishna anymore. I'm going to grow my hair
yes.
out. You know, this is not joining a political party where you could leave.
Right.
This is not, you know, doing whatever. This is literally changing your body.
Forever.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it's going to cause massive problems if you try to go back from that. We're not being closed-minded. We're looking at young people and saying, look, just because you may have a wacky parent and a wacky doctor, mm-hmm. there are doctors who believe anything's okay.
Right.
Okay?
Oh, yeah. They will do anything for a price.
Right.
Right? Oh, yeah, you need this, totally. And let's just be, okay, being a parent, I have children that often tell me, hey, I'm a unicorn, or look at me, I'm a mountain lion, mom. And they really walk around the house on all fours and they growl. And my daughter, when she's a unicorn, she's, you know, acts like she's flying. She says she wants to be a unicorn. Do I start some kind of process where there's like transitioning into unicorn? Children are constantly imagining. They're constantly playing in their own world.
I'm going to grow out of this stuff shortly.
Yes.
Just
and so, it. Right. So at some point, when they're old enough, I'm fine. You want to make your own decisions? That's fine. That's where I'm all about. Limited government, step out of my business. Let me do what I want to do. But we are supposed to protect children.
Right.
This is so irresponsible of this governor to say, oh, you know, this is where he throws the limited government card. And it's not for the protection of the child. It's because we know why he's being threatened here.
This kid has coming into their lives. So we'll get back to them in a second here. But this kid has coming into their lives influences from the schools
yes.
from the media,
indoctrination.
From Sesame Street, which is hard left nowadays, yes. from all these other sources, maybe from some wacky parents if he lives in Portland.
Right.
You know, look, you've got kids, and we understand you're going to be influenced by all these things, but we just want you to get old enough to where you can assess these things and maybe, just maybe, listen to some other sources that aren't those things. And then weigh these things before changing your body.
Yes.
Because that is difficult to come back from. And Asa Hutchinson knows it. And for him to say, hey, if you had simply put something out that said, we're going to ban these procedures, I would have been for that. But if you're going to say, we're going to have the government come between a doctor and the mom and the child and not allow them to do this, I can't allow that. In other words, he's saying, no, I would not sign something that would ban these procedures.
Right.
He just lied.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we go on?
Yes.
Here we go.
It goes way too far. And no, in fact, it doesn't even have a grandfather clause that those young people that are under hormonal treatments,
if I could just correct you for a second. Well, this is chemical castration, of course. If you stop puberty and suppress the sex hormones, you're chemically castrating someone. So our description was correct. But let me just ask you, I mean, there are all kinds of, we're talking about minors, children here, and there are all kinds of things in Arkansas kids in every state are not allowed to do. Get married, drink a beer, get a tattoo. Why do you think it's important for conservatives to make certain that children can block their puberty, be chemically castrated? Why is that a conservative value, if you would tell us?
Well, first of all, you have parents involved in very difficult decisions. You have physicians that are involved in these decisions.
Okay. Whoa. Well, there are parents and physicians involved. Mm-hmm. So now it's okay.
Yeah.
If these are parents and physicians who right. like this, hey, then let's change that kid's body.
Right.
And not worry about the fact that they're not old enough to deal with all the influences in their life.
Yes. And this is the thing, like the, it's such a moment thing. And this is what happens with, especially in the teenage years, right? Like I remember, you know, being a teenager, you have a crush on a guy. He doesn't like you back. I literally thought the world was ending. I really thought it's over. I remember sobbing when I found out this guy did not like me. It was like, oh my God. And I was stuck in a moment. It was a moment.
Just so
and
you know, really quick here, all you had to do was feed him. We are all very, just feed us.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, anyway, yeah, but it's a moment and that like there's so many different emotions going on in you when you're in your teenage years and there's ups and there's downs and there's highs and there's lows and there's, oh my gosh, this is horrible or this is the best moment of my life. And until you learn to balance, right? That happens as your brain fully develops and on into your 20s, actually. Then I think then, okay, if you want to make these decisions, then make them. But parents are turning into like bestie friends with a lot of their kids and like, oh, let's please you in this moment instead of really studying the long-term consequences of these decisions being made in these brash, quick moments.
Right. And by the way, he says, well, the parent and the doctor agree. Oh, okay. Asa Hutchinson also claims to be pro-life. Let's say the parent and the doctor agree on a partial birth abortion.
Right.
Which, by the way, they sometimes do.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? You tell me, Rachel, by his reasoning, didn't he just make that okay?
Yeah, he did make it okay. Or let's go full term. You full term, right, last minute before you're about to deliver. You don't feel like you want to have a baby now. You don't feel it because it's all about feelings to these people. It's all about feelings. You don't feel, then he's justifying a doctor to make the call.
Yes. Alter your child.
Yeah.
Give them things that are going to make them shorter and less able to compete in life. Let's tell you what. How about we take a break? We'll come back with this because I want to continue because Tucker butchers
him. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful. But first, something else that's beautiful, firearms.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I believe that too. Franktown Firearms, folks, you've been putting it off. You've been putting off buying a gun, always too busy. Well, we now have leaders wanting to take that from you. So it's time, no more delay. Go to Franktown Firearms and get $50 off your initiation fee, and better yet, get treated like the free American you were born to be. Go to klzradio.com or call Franktown at 720-770-7777.
At Franktown Firearms, you can always get better. It's a very conservative notion that no matter how good you are right now, life is all about improving yourself. That's exactly how the team at Franktown Firearms is looking at training, which is why they offer a greater diversity of platforms than most shooting ranges, including static, moving and shooting, and target acquisition engagement, so you can always get better. It's a great feeling to see your skills improving, and at Franktown Firearms, you have literally unlimited potential. Sign up for one-on-one instruction on the range or register for a group class catered to your level of ability. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
Okay, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You've worked hard for that house, so if you're 62 or older, maybe you should make that house work for you with a reverse mortgage. Call Bruce Simmons. Get your questions answered at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage with Bruce Simmons puts more money in your pocket. One of the common misconceptions Bruce hears about reverse mortgages is that they're too expensive. But here in the Front Range, chances are good your property value will keep going up even after you get the loan, which means your overall equity may actually increase over time instead of shrinking. Plus, you get the benefit of using a portion of your home's value now instead of waiting until you sell the house. Best of all, FHA reverse mortgages are non-recourse loans, which means they're guaranteed by the government. So no matter what happens to the housing market, as long as you keep paying taxes and insurance, you can never lose the house or pass on debt to your heirs beyond the value of the home. A reverse mortgage puts more money in your pocket. Ask Bruce Simmons now at klzradio.com/reverse. Personalized reverse mortgage expertise. NMLS number 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, Barber's Foods. Rachel, have you ever noticed that steaks taste way better at fine restaurants than at home?
Yes, all the time.
Yeah, why is that? It's aging and treatment.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they do with it. Unlike the stuff you get at the store, that restaurant's meat has been handled a lot like Barber's Foods handles theirs. But restaurants are pricier than ever. So to get that aging and treatment, cut out the middleman, call or text Barbers at 303-466-7338 or order online at barbersfoods.com. Barber's Foods. Treat yourself to meat that's been treated right.
For those select few who still care about how the animals were raised and cared for, BarbersFoods.com is perhaps the last place in Colorado you can go to buy air-chilled chicken, locally raised beef and bison, premium Duroc pork, and wild-caught salmon that are all sourced from families that they know personally. Let's face it, some things in life are gone and never likely to ever come back. Like houses in Denver that cost less than $100,000, or knowing your neighbor well enough to borrow a cup of sugar. But thanks to Barber's Foods, you can still know where your food comes from. Go to barbersfoods.com and click on April Specials at the top of the page to find ground beef and air-chilled chicken breast on sale. And for Mother's Day on May 9th, they have Mom's Favorite Beef Filet Tenderloins on sale. Some things are long gone, but you can still buy your meats from a local Colorado-owned family business. Barbersfoods.com, connecting you to your food since 1949.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Jane with Faith Church in Loveland said, "I have worked with Business Equipment Service for almost 7 years. As office manager, I will not change service providers. BES offers excellent service, and I recommend them to anyone who asks. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in for John Rush, along with the great conservative mama, Rachel Keen. Rachel, are you ready for some more Tucker and Asa?
Yes, okay, I am ready.
Here we go.
And I go back to William Buckley. I go back to Ronald Reagan, the principles of our party, which believes in a limited role of government. Are we as a party abandoned?
No, I can't. I got no.
When he pulled, yeah.
First of all, Ronald William Reagan, Buckley kind of left, conservatism behind long ago.
Yeah, but don't say Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan would have supported this?
Like, that's taking his name in vain, really.
Yes, it is. Okay, continuing.
Any limited role of government and saying we're going to invoke the government decision making over and above physicians, over and above health care, over and above parents, and saying
How deeply have you studied this topic? With respect, it doesn't sound like you've studied it very deeply. I mean, this is an emerging field. There's not a lot of research, but the research that exists suggests that depression and the urge to self-harm and suicide is a side effect of taking these hormones. A study in the UK showed the overwhelming majority of children on puberty-blocking hormones had the urge to hurt themselves. Why is that responsible medicine to do that to children? Why would you support something like that?
Well, I actually reviewed some of that study. I reviewed the high court decision there, and I think they are different than what you're talking about here. Sure, there's a lot of unknowns here. I studied this bill in contrast to what you just said. I spent a lot of time reviewing cases, meeting with people, listening to the experts, as well as to faith leaders as well. And I'm a person of faith, but at the same time, I'm a person of limited role of government. I signed pro-life.
Go ahead.
No, like he says, I'm a person of faith. But people of faith believe that we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and he doesn't make mistakes. So
absolutely.
How can he, like, what does that mean?
It means nothing. And by the way, you notice how he's citing all these people he's talking to,
yeah.
Right? Oh, well, I've talked to lawyers. I've talked to doctors. Mm-hmm. I've talked to family members. I've talked to faith leaders. I've talked to, dude, take your position and own it.
Right.
Okay, quit putting it off on others and saying, well, because some faith leaders, there are some faith leaders that are more liberal.
Well, that Warnock guy.
Warnock is a faith
leader.
Oh my
gosh, Warnock, like, he tweeted out last week during Easter that Jesus is not necessary. We can save ourselves. He later deleted the tweet. But he said, basically, we can save ourselves. That's a faith leader right
there. That's right. I can get across that Grand Canyon. Just let me get a running start. It'll work out just great. Way to go, Warnock. But, okay, let's get a little bit more. Tucker's going to have fun.
Okay.
Bills. I signed many bills that would be looked at as very conservative, but this is one that crosses the line. There's no need for it.
Hold on. I'm sorry, but hold on. You've said that you've seen research that shows the mental health of children who receive puberty-blocking drugs improves. What is that research exactly?
Well, the research that I've seen shows that these troubled youth, these ones that have gender dysphoria, that they also have depression. They have suicidal tendencies. It's a higher...
Okay, let me jump in. Hey, they've got gender dysphoria, so let's let them, you know, alter their bodies forever.
So, okay, and
that's a good thing to do with kids.
Right, so if somebody has gender dysphoria, shouldn't we just slow down for a second?
Yeah.
Just get into some therapy and not do anything permanent?
Yes.
That's what you would think would be the advice, because they're struggling with something, right? It's a dysphoria, so let's just hold on, pump the brakes, and walk through this slowly.
We got about 2 minutes left here. He is spinning out of control here. Here we go.
Their suicide rate than others, and they go to their parents. The parents go to doctors, and they try to deal with this very difficult issue.
I'm sorry. You're the governor. You just vetoed this bill. You said you're familiar with the studies. No one disputes that children who are asking for puberty-blocking drugs or been recommended to their parents or doctors may be depressed. That seems very likely. I think the studies show it. Cite one specific study that shows puberty-blocking drugs improves the condition.
Right.
Does it make children less depressed? Does it make them less likely to harm themselves, to commit suicide? Just name one study that shows that, please.
Well, I would refer you to the American Academy of Pediatrics. I would refer you to
All right, that's enough. You're referring him to, you're citing more organizations, not a single study. And by the way, he doesn't. And really quick here, let's end up. We got a little over a minute. Tucker then presses him on, basically, have any business interests been pressing you on this?
Right.
Pressing you on this? And he denied it fully. Oh,
right.
I haven't been talked to by any. The mm-hmm. next night, last night, Tucker brought it out that Walmart and the Walton family had come out and endorsed all this.
Wow.
And said they were behind it. Now, does that mean that they talked to him? Not necessarily.
Right.
But come on, they did. This guy is
on.
Buddies with them.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's looking to get on their board
mm-hmm.
at a nice position. We're looking at, why are these Republicans backing down on trans issues like this?
Right.
I believe it is business. I believe people with deep pockets mm-hmm. are influencing them.
Which
Go
is
ahead.
So dirty.
Take a few seconds.
Right, which is so dirty. That, I mean, enough of this. We need to primary these people. We've got, what's her name? What is it?
Sarah Huckabee.
Sarah Huckabee. Yeah, she's going to be running. Get this guy out of there.
Yes.
You know? I mean, enough of this stuff. These people that are not holding fast and holding true to real conservative values, we need to primary them and get them out.
Are you listening to Rachel Kane, Liz Cheney? Are you listening to Rachel Keane? Sorry, Liz. To Rachel Keane, Lisa Murkowski. Are you
right.
listening here? Because you're on your way out. Okay, that's it for hour number one. Folks, if you missed this hour, it replays at 6. In the next hour, we have Jonathan Butcher, Gregory Wrightstone. Until then, keep it right here at Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.